everyone, and welcome to Radiar Radar Episode 8. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Here, back after a long hiatus in the land of the Japan, is...
Hey, Henry Gilbert. Hey, folks.
There's Hank.
I missed you.
They all missed you, too.
Thanks.
Collectively.
Wow. I appreciate it, people.
We got so many cards. We threw them away before you saw them.
Aww.
So many cards. Also in studio with me is...
Hey, it's Lorenzo Valoria over here taking Lucas's regular introduction thing.
In your face, Lucas.
I've actually never done that on the podcast, but maybe I should.
No, not today.
It happens around the office enough.
Yes.
And Lucas is here.
Hi.
Tom is currently in Georgia.
Yes.
Specifically in all of the locations that The Walking Dead takes place. And I'm not even joking.
Such a random choice. Just
and he hasn't played The Walking Dead games. He's just like, yeah, I'm going to Macon. And we're just like, what? That's a real place in Georgia?
I don't know. Out of all the places in America you could go.
I talked to him a little bit about that today.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I have no idea why anyone would have chosen to base anything off of this. And then he put in quotes, city.
no offense, people in Georgia.
Yeah.
No. Well, Georgia is different.
This
is specifically Macon. If you're listening and you're from Macon, then the zombie apocalypse is coming, so you want to get out of there.
Yeah. I lived in Marietta, Georgia from ages 7 to 10. So it's a fun fact.
Explains a lot of your racism.
Well, actually, Marietta, Georgia, another fun fact. It's one of the most... I think it is at least this was a fact a few years ago, the most Muslims of any city in the South.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Seven is the most.
It's a heavily Muslimed area.
Muslims? Did you just say heavily? All right, let's roll on forward. As we said, welcome to the Friday edition, which is the new day in general for Radio Radar. There are going to be some other minor changes you'll notice. The lack of Tom Agrino is not one of them. He's just on vacation this week.
We can only try these new things without him here.
Yeah, he's not here, so we're just going off the rails. So minor differences, and things are going to continue to change. And when I say change, I mean become better produced. So no negative changes. There's just going to be some sound effects that match segments. I'm not going to sit here and hit fart buttons all the time.
Oh,
I know.
No.
I know. I miss him too, but. But some other things, we just didn't have time to get them all ready for this week. But in the near future, oh, you'd better believe there's going to be other buttons. But one thing that's not going to change is we're still going to start with the top seven.
Woo!
Yeah! All right, and this week's top seven is all about games that are still coming out this year. It's the top seven most incredibly exciting games still coming out in 2012. Now, there's still like a 10% chance one of these games is going to slip till next year.
Oh,
but we're going to ignore that in favor of... blistering excitement, starting with number seven, Need for Speed Most Wanted. I'm not a giant fan of the Need for Speed series, personally, but I am a pretty big fan of the Burnout series, which means I'm, by proxy, a huge fan of the developer Criterion. And they did great things with the last Need for Speed, because I think EA was just like, listen, Burnout doesn't sell great, but you know what sells great regardless of quality? Need for Speed. So let's take a good developer... It's like how Joss Whedon was given the Avengers.
Yeah, but they've done too many. They were getting close to doing too many bad or not great Need for Speeds. That they needed something, a great one to buy back some, cred.
Yeah, and they got one, and now they're doing another one.
They need to apologize for the run.
With this one.
I didn't hear. Nah, the run I heard wasn't that bad. It was.
It was just that it was Need for Speed really didn't need QuickTime events is what I think it comes down to.
On the foot.
Time to get out of your car and have QuickTime events. Like,
I wouldn't have been so upset if they made Need for Speed and made it a 100% foot racing game because there's nothing in the title that says it has to have cars. Like, I just need speed. Your car breaks down. You're like, I don't care. And you just keep running. But Most Wanted, I mean, honestly, the reason I'm excited for it, and it's mentioned in the top seven, is sort of like... If the last Need for Speed game was essentially the Need for Speed except Burnout 3, this one's Need for Speed except Burnout Paradise, and I fucking love Burnout Paradise. That game is so good. And that's essentially what this is. It's a spiritual successor in many ways to to Burnout Paradise, and that is more than enough to get me just incredibly excited.
Would you say it's one of your most wanted?
Number six.
You need to pick up the pace when you're talking, Lucas. Come on.
Get to the point so we can ignore you faster. Number six is Zombie U.
Now, when this first got announced, people were kind of saying, oh, it's the next Red Steel. But the more we've played of it, and you played it a bit a couple weeks ago,
sure.
Everybody is really, I don't know, they're changing their perceptions on it, I think.
I mean, I think everyone's still kind of weary that it's going to be the next Red Steel, mm-hmm. but they're also sort of hoping it's more like Red Steel 2.
Yeah, I think they know how to make Red Steel 2 prove they knew how to make a better Red Steel.
Yeah.
And this is also the only Wii U exclusive on this list here. Surprise. But I'm actually more interested in this than new Mario U, just because, first off, I wasn't, like, burned by New Super Mario Brothers 2, just did play it. So another new Mario is not that exciting.
Well, but Zombie U.
Yeah, well, meanwhile, zombies are so exciting and different.
But, I mean, this game, I remember we actually gave it one of our top games of E3, specifically because even though Nintendo showed off, like, 15 games for the Wii U, none of them really showed off the potential of the Wii U gamepad except Zombie U, because there's, like, little things. So it's a survival horror. One bite from a zombie and you're dead, and then your character becomes a zombie and a new character is spawned, and you actually need to go find and kill your previous zombie character just to get the loot back.
Yeah.
But also, like, little things. So it's a survival horror that you have to do things that you normally have to do in survival horror games, like unlock doors or push things over.
Or look in your backpack.
And when you do that, that's all on the bottom screen. And if you look up at the screen, you'll see your character in third person kind of looking around, because at any point a zombie could attack you. So it's a really interesting idea that, like, just like if you were in real life having to pick a lock, your attention has to be on the lock. It can't be on the things around you, even though the world around you would continue moving.
Yeah, and the camera kind of is at an unfortunate angle, too, so something can sneak up on you.
Right.
So it's...
It just shows how survival horrors can be greatly boosted by the ability to take your attention explicitly away from the TV.
Yeah, it's extra tense, I think.
Yeah, it's extra tense. And at one point, something flashed up on the little screen, and I shit all over the place. Nintendo was furious. There was so much poop.
Call in the janitor, strap on the rubber gloves.
For gloves, and he came in with a giant Wiimote and swept it away. But I'm still kind of weary that it's going to be... I mean, everyone got super excited for Red Steel also.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Ubisoft has learned better, and they know that there's a good chance that if they make a really good launch title, it will sell millions of units.
That's why they're the kings of at least Nintendo launches. Like, they always, like, with the 3DS, I think they had like 4 games ready for it.
And some are obviously going to be ports, just because they're one of the only companies that's like, screw it, we'll just port over our other
Rayman
games.
Rayman 3 again, who cares?
Yeah, but some of them, it's like, even like the 3DS launch, it's like, we're going to make a unique Ghost Recon specifically for the 3DS. And it was ended up being one of the best games still on the 3DS. So there's a chance that any Ubisoft game can end up being surprisingly good. And I'm excited for this one because I hope it is.
And also, so few, there's so especially original M-rated games on that system. Like, it's one of the very few. So,
oh, yeah.
Which is also appreciated.
Yes. Also, still, it's coming out next week, actually, and we're still super excited for it. Dishonored.
Yeah.
Number 5.
Dishonored is great.
Yeah, so Dishonored, isn't it made by the people who made Bioshock 2?
I think it's like a collection of people who like worked on Deus Ex and Thief and
totally. I'm losing the guy's name right now, but it's
new developer who worked on a lot of stuff. And I think Bioshock is in there somewhere.
Well, yeah, they did the Bioshock 2 multiplayer.
The gameplay is a lot like Bioshock, though. You'll have, you know, a main weapon in your right hand and magic powers in your left hand, so you're, like, dual-wielding basically the entire time.
And it's totally different. You don't shoot bees. You shoot rats!
Yeah, you shoot rats and you shoot wind.
I saw they made... Time. Who was it that showed... Maybe it wasn't somebody in the office, but somebody showed me it was a tie-in Dishonored game where you cut rats like Fruit Ninja. Ugh.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the plot is... So you play as a guy who is like the servant to the queen empress, and then she gets killed and you get framed.
He's the Lord Protector.
Yeah, so now you are dishonored. But you have to earn back your honored by breaking out of jail and stabbing so many people in the neck.
Mm. Yeah.
Also, there's a rat plague that makes you cry blood.
And it causes zombies.
So yes.
There's zombies too?
Yeah, traditional style zombies. There are sick people who are a little deranged and they come chase after you and spit on you when they grab you and stuff.
Ew.
So, you know, there's guards with
it's
guns.
Almost like, imagine if the plague, like the bubonic plague, was exactly like it was, but it also made you want to turn other people to kill other people. Like, you're not crazy. You're not brain dead as zombies are.
No.
It's more just like you're a crazy person who wants to make other people crazy like you.
But they do moan and stuff like zombies. They act exactly like zombies.
That sounds more like the 28 Days Later zombies.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I guess that's right. But they also cry blood.
But the game also doesn't it have like Deus Ex style multiple paths to solving a problem?
Yeah, so you basically get one objective, like kill this guy, and you find out later that you can do that in various ways. You could, you know, kill them with your, you know, just jumping at them, stabbing them, or you could be a creative and like lure them into some crazy location where they get boiled alive or whatever. Or there's a non-lethal solution where you can, you know, like convince someone to kidnap them and take them away, and they'll keep them away forever because they're a creeper. So there's like various
on your screen.
Yeah, there's various ways to get rid of your targets, and there's also multiple objectives. So those avenues will open up as you do those multiple objectives. So
yeah, it's
pretty wide.
When I saw it at E3, they actually showed the same mission twice, which is not an incredibly common thing to do at E3, but I've seen it done before. And one time it was like, all right, so we have to kill these two brothers in this like castle. And the first time they like teleported around, and then like Jedi mind tricked one guy to get him to walk away, and then snuck in and killed one guy, and like put one person to sleep and killed another. And then they're like, all right, so let's do that again. And then they teleported to the top of the building, shot like a gunshot through like a window in the roof, and dropped down, and then just started stabbing it was like a party going on. And like the first time, there was that woman that he just like put in a sleeper hold and put to sleep. The second time, she turned around and screamed, and he did a Jedi mind push and just launched her out of a window. And it was like, oh god, that is actually like, they did a really good job of showing how you can do whatever the hell you want in this game.
And it's actually surprisingly brutal too, because if you're sword fighting with a guy, he'll be attacking you and you deflect it, and he's off dizzy or whatever, and you stab him through the face, and like
stabbing through the face looks like
off.
It hurts so much.
It's so awesome because it's right there in your face, and you see a head just get lopped off. And
yeah,
fall to the
so
floor.
Sounds like Aliens.
You can see a review of that early next week on GamesRadar.com. The next game you'll have to wait a little bit longer for a review. Halo 4. Also,
Halo
you'll
4.
Notice something, not to spoil the end of this list, that there's no Call of Duty on this list. It's not because we don't love Call of Duty. It's just because it's so hard to get legitimately excited for Call of Duty now.
Who doesn't love Call of Duty?
That's the kind of thing you wait until it's in your hands and you're playing it.
Oh, I get excited like the day before, but it's not like I'm sitting here like, oh, I can't wait. Like when it comes out, I'm going to play the crap out of it.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, oh, cool, there's a Call of Duty coming out. It's like, I don't get, like, even though I like Madden, I don't get super excited because it's obligatory. You know it's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. It's expected now, so.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise.
But Halo 4 is on the list because even though there have been 3 Halo games in, like, the last 4 years, it's, or 5 years.
The 3 Halo games after Halo 3.
Only 2 after Halo 3.
No, Reach, the anniversary. You're forgetting the
anniversary. Remake doesn't count. But anyway, Halo 4 is the first true Halo sequel, full-fledged sequel since Halo 3, which did come out a long time ago.
Yeah.
As far as current console goes.
The Chief is back.
The Chief is back. It takes place like 30 seconds. Actually, it's like 30 years. I was going to say 30 seconds after the end, because it literally, like, the end of Halo 3 is like, you're like, I'm going to sit in this cryogenic tube. Wake me when you need me. And then you fall asleep. And then the next one begins with like, holy shit, Chief, we need you! And then jump out and you're like, ta-da! And then you jump onto a planet and kill things.
I think it's like 4 years later and on a completely different planet. But the
I wonder if they actually just made it as many years as it's really been.
Maybe that'd be cool.
But it takes place inside some big sci-fi sphere, right? That has like a planet inside.
I believe
it.
It's actually a halo.
No, this would be the donut hole of the donut that is Halo, actually.
I don't
think about it.
It takes place on the Forerunner world.
The Forerunner stuff. Just when you talk about Halo's mythology, it bores me.
It has a good mythology. The only reason I hate the mythology is because I think the grunts are stupid and they break any suspension of disbelief I have is ruined by the fact that, hey, let's dress our grunt soldiers like clowns.
Yeah.
Makes no sense to me.
And
but
make them scream whenever a grenade comes by.
The demon! It's so dumb. Anyway, but they're doing a lot of cool things with the single player. The multiplayer is like, Halo 3 needed to be revamped before in terms of multiplayer to compete with Call of Duty, and it wasn't.
No.
And they've always been taking half measures when it comes to the last two Halo games that have come out where they're like, let's add sprinting as a special ability. And this one is the first one where they're like, all right, listen, Halo needs to grow up to catch up with modern games. So there's sprinting. There's
loadouts.
There's loadouts. There's the ability. Like, they even have their own version of, like, Call of Duty has the, like, you can call in things if you get, like, a few kills.
Oh, yeah.
Except kill streak rewards, except it's usually things that, like, it'll drop a gun somewhere on the map.
Yeah, ordnance drops is what they're calling them.
Hmm. It looks super cool. And there's also the thing I'm personally most excited for is a mode that I don't remember the name of.
Are you talking about the co-op?
Yeah, there's a co-op mode which has a cutscene introduction and some story, but it's essentially like a big, robust, like 20-minute, 30-minute level that there's going to be it's going to be downloadable free every week for the first few months with like a cinematic introduction.
Oh, yeah, I heard of that it's like a TV season they're doing a DLC.
That's what they're doing.
Really
and
cool.
it's like episodic
content.
Yeah, it's episodic content, and there's multiple difficulty levels. So it's like if you have friends that play Halo, every week you'll have a new half hour to 45 minutes to play. So I'm super excited for that.
I also heard you can play as the Flood in multiplayer.
I did not know that.
I haven't heard that.
The Flood are stupid annoying, so I'm not looking forward to that at all.
Well, they're not in – they have said a million times it is not in the single-player campaign, but it is in a multiplayer mode.
It may be maybe their Horde thing. Maybe you can't play – can you play as them, or are they just going to be
there? I had read you could play as the Flood. I could be wrong.
I hope you are. I've never hoped for you to be wrong more.
I'm sorry to sound so uninformed to our audience, but, you know.
Whoops.
Whoops.
I don't – look, Halo is not my bag.
No, but you know what is your bag?
Mm-hmm.
Backpacks and fanny packs.
I've
and Assassin's Creed 3.
Oh, yeah.
That was a segue. Assassin's Number three Creed. On the list, Assassin's Creed, taking place in colonial America in the 1700s. Right before and then during and probably a little after the Revolutionary War.
This is the game I'm most excited for this year, like, because I've played every Assassin's Creed game other than the PSP game, which who cares? But I went through the whole Ezio trilogy, and even though Revelations like started to drag a little, I was still ready for more. And then when they were like, no, finally the time jump, and it's in America. And it's with famous people from history that you've heard of. That it was
well, you've never heard of Rodrigo
Borgia.
Well,
when I found out he was a pope, that was more interesting. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to like the giant open battlefields, the running on trees and like uneven surfaces and like. A wilderness hunting that's sort of like out of Red Dead, which sounds awesome. And then just Connor seems like a cool character.
He is. And actually something I'm going to work into an article, but you know what? I actually, one of the reasons it's number three instead of number one is just because we've seen so much of it right now and our excitement hasn't been lowered because it doesn't look good, but it's been lowered because it's like I've already played
overexposure.
But one of the things they talked about is the fact that like Connor, like the last two assassins, Ezio and Altair, were both kind of like skinny guys. They were light assassins.
Yeah.
Connor is massive. He's just like a big guy. And because of that, they instead of making him like a nimble character, they said they actually watched like footage of UFC fighters and wrestling fighters. And at one point, my guy stabbed a guy in the neck and then literally gave him the rock bottom. And one of the animators was like, oh, yeah, you just gave a guy the rock bottom. Like, it's just it's like he's like, we're big fans of wrestling, so we put in some wrestling moves in there.
That's awesome.
Like, so one time I gave somebody just like a legit DDT. Like, just what I did.
I love that.
And it's because, and if you look at him, it's just the way he attacks, and his combat's totally different, too. Because, like, the other assassins, it was all about waiting for somebody to attack and then kind of Batman style attacking
deflecting
back.
Deflecting, and then usually like a stab to the neck.
There's still some of that here, but you're supposed to just you're so much bigger than all of the enemies that you're just supposed to beat the shit out of them. Like, just brute force overpower them.
I like that, too, because I was getting a little... I still enjoyed the combat in Assassin's Creed, but yeah, most of the time I was just waiting, reverse, stab, like, because it was easy.
They also had to speed it up because it's hard to play defensively when your enemies have guns.
Oh, yeah.
You just kind of have to fight.
This is the closest they've gotten into the world of guns, though they're still not repeat firing guns.
No.
Also, another thing they just revealed this week that I thought was pretty cool, the first round of DLC is the Tyranny of King George Washington.
Yes.
Yeah. An alternate history where George Washington proclaimed himself king post-
Which was a fear of certain people.
That's right.
That's some of the reasons that our Declaration of Independence and Constitution is so specific about like the powers of the president because they were afraid of somebody declaring themselves king.
So then he... So now it's like him battling the president, George Washington, but he's the king. And just the first image they had of it was a smug George Washington sitting in the American throne.
It looked a lot like the cover of Fable 3.
Yeah, it did. With the American flag on the throne.
Yeah, and I'm you can check out a feature about
next week.
Assassin's Creed check DLC next week. Maybe there's some other alternate history we want to talk about.
Also, Liberation looks really cool, too. It's getting me to buy a Vita.
Yeah. Granted, you're just looking for an excuse to buy a Vita.
Well, I want to get it for Assassin's Creed to get the special color Assassin's Creed, the white one for Assassin's Creed. Oh. But also,
the guy from Georgia wants to wait until the white system gets released.
All right.
What a shock, everyone.
And I want
pure white system.
And Persona comes out a couple weeks later, so I'm going to play it.
All right, fair enough.
All right, anyway, Assassin's Creed 3 looks cool.
Yeah, it does. And number two, another Ubisoft game, Far Cry 3.
They're on a roll.
They are on a roll.
Will this come out this year? Is this the one you were questioning if it'll come out?
I was, sort of, but I really think that it's going to.
Early December is a weird time to release a game, and Ubisoft's had... They released a good game in late December once, The Prince of Persia 2008, but it didn't sell so great.
They also released Might and Magic Clash of Heroes DS in December. That is also proof that they're not averse to just pushing stuff out in December.
That's true. I would bet 80% it's going to come out in December.
So Far Cry 3 brings it back to the jungle like the first game. Though it is not going to be like the first game in that you're going to fight the most ridiculous-looking mutants of all time.
I just bought Far Cry 1 today. Dude. I'm going to play that one again.
It's a good game, but near the end, it's just like time to fight mutants for no reason.
Crytek are weird, guys.
Yeah, they are, but it's a super good game, and Far Cry 3 looks really cool, and it has a lot of the elements that we kind of talked about with Assassin's Creed in terms of the wilderness being a big part of the game. The graphics look great.
Gorgeous. Now, one weird thing I'll say, or one thing I like about it, too, is that I don't think enough games build up their villain well enough.
Yeah.
And, like, really, the villain, I can't remember his name.
Voss.
Like, Voss has been the star of the game since it was first introduced.
Totally.
He's got his own bobblehead for like, a pre-order bonus.
And he's such a charismatic, creepy dude he's just cool. I just really hope the twist in the game isn't that Voss is a Tyler Durden-type character and that you're Voss.
I swear to you, I was thinking about that yesterday. I was just like...
I've been thinking about that since E3. I was like, I really hope they don't try to do that twist.
There are a lot of drugs involved.
But from what I've seen of the game, it wouldn't make any sense.
No, it really wouldn't. But sometimes Ubisoft does twists that don't make sense.
But we're still really looking forward to it. Coming out December 4th, which is still early enough. That just means they're saying fuck Black Friday when it comes down to it.
Really, you'll probably have played most of the November games you want to play by mid-December.
But it may end up sucking. So check GamesRadar.com to see if it sucks. Probably not. It looks awesome.
I don't think it will.
Actually, cool. I mean, you may also be able to check GamesRadar.com next Wednesday for a hands-on impression by somebody who may have played like 4 hours of it recently.
You just might.
I'm just saying. Somebody near and dear to your ears.
Wonder who could that be?
I don't know, but... I'd say that it's not a far cry from the person who's speaking right now.
All right. What's the number one?
Number one is XCOM Enemy Unknown, which is also out next week, so you do not have to wait very long. Now, you may think it's kind of odd to see a strategy game that is a reboot of a series that died 10 years ago be number one on the list.
I literally saw 2 seconds of gameplay from this. Like, I hadn't seen anything since it was announced, and I saw 2 seconds of gameplay. I'm like, I need to play this.
So it's essentially, if you don't know what it is, I'm going to explain it in terms that anyone who plays games but has no idea what this is will appreciate. So if you're a fan of Fire Emblem or Valkyria Chronicles or any Final Fantasy Tactics game, this is that with aliens.
And American style.
Western.
Yes.
Western
trappings.
America.
But not only is it that, but you're training your soldiers, you're upgrading, you're researching things, you're upgrading things, you're buying new weapons. It's a really in-depth game, and it is brutally challenging. And you get to name your units, and just... I'm reviewing it, and I'll let you know. It's It's not as good of an idea as you think to name your new units after your family members or your loved ones, because sometimes aliens will do things that make your character go crazy and kill someone nearby. Ooh. And if your fiance happens to be watching and the character that has your name goes crazy and murders in cold blood the character that has her name, there's a good chance you'll have to sleep on the couch. I'm not speaking from experience or anything. But my couch isn't that comfortable. So I'm recommending to you that you don't have this happen.
The same thing happened to me with Viva Pinata. But also,
the pinata made you sleep on the couch.
I remember Justin in the UK today, recently, posted a news story about this trailer for XCOM, which is just the director of the game in a video game store trying to sell the game to other people. And he's like, look, you like aliens? The guy's like, no, I hate aliens. And then he says, well, good, because you're going to be shooting them in the face. And then he was super positive the whole time. But then a guy said, But are all my characters going to die? He's like, yeah, you will die. You'll die. You'll die a lot.
And I know, Lucas, you wrote an article this week about 9 reasons to be excited. What were some of those reasons?
I did. Basically, for me, the highlight is going to be playing as aliens, because I know from what little I've played that the Mutant Berserker is going to be my jam.
Yeah, you get to play as aliens, specifically in the multiplayer.
And these are dudes that can, like, take 5 rounds of fire, run up to a guy and punch his face in, and basically one-shot him. And I'm also down with that.
You like one-shotting, huh?
I do. And there's also cool stuff like that. The out-of-combat aspects are really neat, like the research.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do there.
I saw you were researching psionic abilities.
Yes.
For Bill Clinton.
Yes. And if you're wondering why I would name my people Bill Clinton, because that's really a cool thing to do, name your people after presidents. And you might even be able to see an article on Games Radar next week that has different suggestions as to what you can name your team members, because it's a lot more fun if you name them, and it's really easy to run out of names really fast, especially if you have so few friends as I have, and you're really bad at the game, and Henry Gilbert gets shot in the head by an enemy sniper. I'm sorry, Henry.
It's hard to hear.
So that's the top 7. You can check out the top 7 every Monday on GameTrader.com. And now, if you comment in the comment section who you want or what you want to be added on Friday, we're actually going to add a Community Choice Award.
Ooh.
It's sort of like the MTV Awards, except Twilight will win much less often.
It'll still win.
It'll still win about half the time. I'm not gonna front on that. No front in here, but that's going to happen. So let's move on to reviews, starting with...
Whoa, Mists of Pandaria.
Wow, not whoa.
Sorry. World of Warcraft, Mists of Pandaria. 4 out of 5. I liked it.
Wow, you really just... Are you acting, like, verbally repeating how our review page looks right now? Like, you look at it, and then you see the score, and then go like,
the title. That's what people want.
And then you hit
that's
the back button. Everyone just stop listening to the podcast. So, World of Warcraft's been out for about 17 years now.
1,000 years.
It has been quite some time.
I think it's been out for, like, 8 years or 9 years.
I've been playing, well, not continuously, but I've played on day one. Bought every expansion up until this one, and this is... probably the best one, I would say.
Oh, maybe. Better than Cataclysm?
So Cataclysm was like, when it came out of the gate, everyone was super pumped. You know, the new redone areas were awesome. But as time went on, people were like, I don't want to make another alt. So I will never see this redone quest.
But at this point, haven't they made the run from like 1 to 80 take place in like 45 minutes.
It's way, way faster now. Which
I almost want to I played up to like level 40 or 50 when I first started playing at launch, and then I stopped. I kind of want to replay it just so I can get the vanilla WoW experience in an afternoon. I bet you I can get up to where I was in like a day. Yeah. So Mists of Pandaria, what does it add to World of Warcraft besides pandas?
Well, pandas, new race, Pandaren to be exact.
Which I swear was an April Fool's joke from Warcraft 3.
Yeah, it was long rumored.
I mean, like, Warcraft 3 added, there was Pandarians as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
They had their own hero, too, who actually
the brewmaster.
Shows up. Chen Stormstout, my boy. He's in the quests.
But it was a joke when they first did it, and then people liked it too much, and so then they did
Yeah,
it, right?
I think it was just someone saying, like, oh, maybe pandas will be in this. And then they're like, I want
I think the panda, the first panda you found in WoW or in Warcraft 3 was like hidden in a forest. You had to like find him.
Blizzard.
And then they added him in the expansion. He wasn't in vanilla Warcraft 3.
Correct.
So it did just randomly spiral into a full expansion for World of Warcraft. And beyond pandas, it also adds a new class.
That is the monk class, and they are pretty cool. So, as I said in the review, they are like paladins and druids in that they can do tanking, DPS, or healing, which I feel like that's the future of MMOs, every class being able to do every role.
Which I like.
Yeah.
Even Rift did that, too, in a much more minor... they did it in like a more minor way in that not everyone could technically do all of them, but at the same time, it was like you completely would change your class with like a push of a button.
Yeah. That's... I feel that's essential if you want to keep it fresh for people.
Sure.
And gameplay-wise, it's basically like the rogue where you're just spamming E, or that's my quick attack.
I just realized that you didn't have Kung Fu Panda references in your review.
So I not only did not do Kung Fu Panda, I didn't do Sad Panda, and I feel better for it.
Better is a big word. I'd say not significantly worse.
Okay.
That reminds me of when I wrote a preview for the Ghostbusters video game, and I specifically said I will not do one Ghostbusters quote in this entire thing. And then the next time I wrote a second preview for it, and then I was like, I'm doing Ghostbusters quotes at the ass on this.
Yeah, this when I did my Guild Wars review, I finished it, and then I was just like, not one mention of WoW. Take that, expectations for reviews.
Feels good.
Feels good. So they also added in Pokemon.
Yeah, so there are now pet battles. The pets that you've probably been collecting all this time, vanity pets, they now actually do stuff. So I find this to be like, because I've never really cared about crafting or anything like that, but pet battles is something I could see myself like just losing hours and hours to. And it's not even that awesome. It's just being able to play that in WoW is what makes it crazy. Now, let me break it down for you. You get three pets, right? Each with six abilities. And you can play any. You can just queue up for random battles.
Pokemon have four abilities, so I think that's...
Proves that it's better.
They're a little better, yeah. I guess so.
But you can have six pets at a time?
That's no, Pokemon six abilities.
Oh, and three pets?
Choose three abilities for three pets, each of which has a type like... Humanoid, dragon, ling,
ghost, ling, poison,
rock,
undead.
Rock, yeah.
Is it like rock, paper, scissors, where one beats?
No, it's just like stronger attacks. There's no crazy OP like fire versus plant situation.
That's a shame.
But yeah, so pretty much adds a new dimension to something that was like just for fun. Now is even more fun.
Awesome.
Great.
All right, other than World of Warcraft, we also reviewed Resident Evil 6. Yes, I reviewed Resident Evil 6.
You didn't hate it as much as some people on the internet hated it.
I hated it as much as some people on the internet hated it.
It was really spread out.
It was really spread. So there were some 3 out of 10, and there were some 9s out of 10.
I think because you gave it a 7 and not a 4 that you're a poser and that you don't
want to commit.
You're selling
I am
out.
Not the last honest journalist.
Yeah, I know.
Right. So yeah, anyway. Resident Evil 6 is a gigantic departure from previous Resident Evil games.
Even five
in terms of gameplay. And actually, it's funny to think back and how I originally was like, man, they've done something so different with this story. But this is what they did with Resident Evil 2 also, didn't they?
Yeah, that was two different stories that worked in tandem. But they were in the same city. They weren't on multiple continents.
Yes, so this is it takes place. There are 4 campaigns.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Each one tells a different story that is all linked together, and they all will zigzag through each other. So
each campaign has its own beginning, middle, and end.
Yes,
right?
And they all have like to the point where, so Leon's campaign is the first campaign. Once you finish it, like there's still stuff you have no idea how it happened, but it really doesn't matter to Leon, and it shouldn't. It's like, oh, like you told me how to go get the thing that'll cure the virus or whatever, and here I did it or whatever, and then Chris is like, cool. Or like Leon's like, cool, all right. He doesn't need to know the details, but then you get to play Chris's campaign or Jake's campaign, and you get to go see that. And throughout all of the campaigns, you're interacting with the other characters and also Ada Wong. And Ada Wong's motives make not a lick of sense throughout all 3 of those campaigns until you play Ada's campaign, and it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So The way they do that is super interesting.
So does it tie up pretty well, all four of them, just kind of right after you play all of them together?
Yes. The first, like, each one ties up itself well, leaving small lingering questions that each other one... And by the end, it's like, you know what? Ada Wong has been stupid and weird and cryptic the entire series, so I'm just going to assume there was a good reason that she was doing these ridiculously evil, crazy things. And then you play through her campaign, and you're like, oh, damn, I was completely wrong in every way. And it gives you complete... Like, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. And I've said on the podcast before, I don't like replaying games, and I'm super pumped to go back and replay this game just to see... if there are things that I'll pick up on that I didn't get before, to try out more co-op.
Though I loved your analogy about how in the game there's the Juavos as your main enemy. And when they take damage, like you shoot their arms and they grow a weird extra arm, or you shoot their legs and they grow wings and stuff. And so you're saying that that's how the game is maturing and or evolving in very, like, sometimes odd and
annoying ways.
Yeah,
I called out, like, if you look back, like, the original Resident Evil, it's slow. You're slowly walking through a mansion and you're fighting slow zombies and the occasional dog. And then Resident Evil 4 is when the series took a huge shift, and now you're fighting people that are running and throwing shit at you. And then Resident Evil 5, they started sometimes shooting back at you, and there were more combat sections. And then in Resident Evil 6, it's just freaking nuts. It's just like, sure, an enemy that's just a giant baby, whatever, doesn't matter, let's just make him fight it. Oh, this guy, you shoot his head off, and he's like, he grows tentacles out of his head, and then, like, poops out legs. Sure, that happens. Like, it's just so crazy, and it's so perfectly exemplifies all of the good and bad things of Resident Evil 6, where it's like, they took so many crazy risks, and so many of them panned out and worked. But then there's other things, like there's not enough ammo in the game because they still want it to be a Resident Evil game. That's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. But that just means you need to do spin kicks to kill more zombies, and that's really not scary.
And once Leon's done his 30th spin kick, you're like, all right.
Looks like I can spin kick zombies.
Give me 9 more bullets, I wouldn't have had to see this spin kick.
And the boss battles are terrible, which is a shame because that series has always had such good boss battles.
Yeah.
And not only are the boss battles terrible, but some of the terrible boss battles happen at a point in which plot lines intersect. Which means you'll need to play through that same boss battle again. Which normally
isn't different, though.
Sometimes it's slightly different.
Like, there'll be four-player co-op.
Yeah, sometimes it's four-player co-op. But there'll be, like, if you play through the game, and sometimes it's like every story has its own invincible boss that follows you the entire time and makes you waste all of your ammo. And like you'll fight that with people. So you may not have to fight it. Like in Jake's campaign, there's that guy, whatever his name is, with like the giant crazy...
Oh, it's like in that weird European name, like the Dossenhammer.
Yeah, it's just like a giant guy with blonde hair that's just like a weird monster. He's kind of supposed to be a throwback to Tyrant.
He really reminds me of Tyrant.
Nemesis.
More Nemesis.
Yeah, like Nemesis. And so you fight him all throughout Jake's campaign, and then in like Chris's campaign, you fight him once because you just show up at a time where he's fighting them. Huh. So it zigzags together well, except for the fact that like those boss battles are awful.
Are they awfully designed? Like, are the bosses cool themselves? They're just
the bosses are cool looking, but they're poorly paced. Okay. So if you look at like a giant, because everything is just a giant meat monster when it comes down to it. There's none of like the in normal video game where you're like, oh, I know whether or not I'm doing damage to this guy. So I'm shooting something at point blank with a shotgun, and blood is splashing everywhere. But then I'm noticing, I'm like, I don't think he's actually being hurt by this unless I hit a specific part of his head.
You don't know if you have to look for the jewel on him or something.
Exactly. Like, or like, and there's other ones where it's like they just move a little too fast for how the aiming works. Like the aiming works well for normal enemies, but when you have to fight a boss and it's like, I have a single tentacle, I have like 20 tentacles and one of them has an orange bulb on it and you have to shoot that and I'm just waving it around really quick. It just doesn't, you don't have the time.
That sounds like House of the Dead.
To react, and because the controls aren't, or because you have so few bullets, you'll spend half of boss battles just running around trying to find more ammo.
And that's not fun.
No, it's not fun. But it's big and bloated. But that's kind of a good thing. Like, it's such a big game that I was impressed by it. And there were so many changes to the actual controls, like. It could not have any less tank-like controls. Like, you're sliding on the ground. It's not like Vanquish, where you're doing unrealistic slides. It's kind of realistic setting or style. And when you play as Jake, you have, like, superhuman strength and can do crazy melee moves and, like, dashes. So everyone has their own style. And I know originally I was like, I wonder which one I'm going to end up liking the most. And then in the end, I kind of like them all the same, because even though they all have their own highs and lows, they're just different things. Like Chris's campaign, even though it's 100% action almost, the fact that it's 100% action and doesn't pretend to be anything else means that it's almost better paced. That said, it also has its own slew of issues, like a really uninteresting side character and the worst boss battles of the entire thing.
You mean Piers Nevins? I don't like – yeah, Piers kind of sucks. I wasn't that into Helena either. But
Helena is still much more interesting than Piers.
Yeah, she actually has a backstory.
Piers Nevins.
Piers just shows up like, why aren't you a good soldier? I'll make you a good soldier again.
I'm blonde and look like every side character in every shooter ever. So, yeah, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5 stars, which for a normal game, that's a low score for a AAA game like a Resident Evil. So, I will say that I think it's probably the worst of the core Resident Evil games. Mm. But core Resident Evil games have still been pretty good. This is the first one that's a little below that. And it feels like the series needs to kind of decide if it wants to be scary or not, because this kind of half, like, one foot in the door isn't really going to help it in the long term.
It's not cutting it.
But it's still worth playing if you're a fan of Resident Evil, I'd say, because the way the story goes is worth seeing and experiencing, especially if you can do co-op.
I just wonder if they're going to go to Resident Evil 7 next, or if this is when they finally stop the numbering and reboot it. Like,
if they it's going to be next gen probably, so I wouldn't be shocked by it, like a reboot.
Yeah. Well, because like 7 is just such a big number. It's so weird to see a number 7 on any game.
It's like Mega Man.
Even though, yeah, exactly. Even though there are games that have more than 7 entries, like you could really call Call of Duty, well, the Black Ops 2 is like Call of Duty 9.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like, so.
9 or 10, or yeah. Whatever.
Good God.
But oh well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. But so you should probably pick it up if you're a fan, but otherwise, and you can play co-op, but otherwise you might want to just wait.
Resident Evil Rental, baby. Like 5 a lot. Like, that made playing it 10 times more enjoyable than single player.
Yeah.
Just say.
I know, you're allowed to just say. All right, so next up is previews. First, real quick preview of Assassin's Creed 3 multiplayer, which I played recently at an event. Don't want to go too much into it for time's sake, but different modes. One of them is Wolfpack mode, which is, they refer to it as reverse horde, sort of, where you and up to 3 other people have to go around assassinating like groups of targets at the same time.
That's cool.
But there will also be times where like 2 of them are in one area, or they're all scattered, and you have to communicate, because if you kill all the people at the same time, you get a bigger time bonus. And there's also like, if you, let's say you kill, they can be tipped off if the other people get killed. Or if they're together, if there's like 3 enemies together and you walk up and stab one of the other ones may like knock you down, and then they'll both run in opposite directions. So it's all about teamwork. It's really cool. Yeah. There's also Capture the Flag. It functions like Capture the Flag. The other cool one, I don't remember the name of at all. I think it may have been like Domination or something, but it's essentially Capture Point, which works much more interestingly than I'd expect Capture Point to work in Assassin's Creed, because what they do is, there are still tons of NPCs just walking around, minding their own business, and there's like 3 different areas you have to capture. And you're not allowed to kill an enemy unless they're actively trying to capture your point, or you're actively trying to capture theirs. So it's all about kind of like, there'll be NPCs, like a zone will be like a little building, so there'll be a bunch of people just standing around. And the enemy knows what you look like, but there'll be other people in the world that look like you, so they'll have to, and they'll get a notification once you walk in. So it's about kind of watching the area, and then like, let's say your characters, your one team is all like cowboy looking guys, and then one team is all British soldiers or something. There'll be cowboys and British soldiers walking around, and there'll be some in the zone. And then all of a sudden you get a notification like, oh, someone in your zone, somebody trying to capture your zone. So you'll try to find the person who's like acting out of the ordinary and take them down.
Back and forth.
It's really interesting, but you can still like, but at the same time, it's like, I'll be like, all right, I know I'm looking for a red coat. And I'll kind of, if you walk up to a wall, your character will like all the other NPCs, just lean against the wall and look natural. And then you'll like see somebody walk in and they'll walk right past you. You can just grab them and kill them. So you get to like blend, both sides get to work with blending in.
Huh.
It's really cool.
That's pretty cool. Well, it's so weird to like be interested in the multiplayer for Assassin's Creed, because when like they first announced multiplayer for Brotherhood, I was one of the biggest skeptics. Like, you got to put multiplayer in everything, huh? Boo.
Ended up being awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you'll be able to read more about that soon and play it for yourself at the end of the month.
My God.
Coming out soon.
Yeah.
Hot and heavy. speeding
this
towards
is the
us.
Time.
Also, Lorenzo, you got a chance to check out the other shooter.
Yeah, Jesus. Medal of Honor, Warfighter. I had a chance to.
You fight wars, bro.
Yeah.
For America.
Yeah.
For including
the
southern
all of the
states.
Countries. But yeah, I had a chance to pick up and play the single player and multiplayer, which I can't really talk about too much right now.
You can talk about the single player, though.
I can't talk about the single player because I also posted my preview this morning. So
yeah. Is the heavily bearded guy back from the first
yeah,
one?
Yeah, Voodoo. His name's Voodoo.
I see.
But yeah, he's back.
Listen, Mr. Voodoo.
I should not laugh at his service to our country.
And the fact that is his God-given name.
Really?
Roger Voodoo. No, of course not.
But he's based on a real guy who fought wars for America.
Yeah, he was a war fighter.
Let's not laugh at him.
Anyways, so Voodoo's back, and a couple of the other guys are back from the previous game, and you'll see some new faces and stuff. But one of the more interesting levels we got to play, we got to play the level that was showcased in a couple of the trailers with, the robot you're driving around in the cave or whatever.
That's all well and good.
And
the Mega Man level.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
There was also a driving level where it's just pure driving. You're in the driver's seat and you have to chase this truck or this guy.
Like, that's weird.
Yeah, you're driving in a first-person shooter, but like...
It sounded pretty cool.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. You're driving through Karachi, and it's this crowded marketplace with traffic coming to and fro, and you have to dodge all these cars, and you run over street carts, and crap's just flying all over the place. Feels kind of like the Bourne Identity movies, but it's pretty awesome. Everything else was just, pop and shoot and blow things up and snipe people. And
How's it feeling compared to, say,
Call of Duty?
Actually, I was going to say Battlefield. Like, at least some people knocked on our old podcast. We had a long conversation about not enjoying the Battlefield 3 single player at all. How would you compare it?
I'd say
the last Medal of Honors was probably better than the most recent Battlefield single player.
I say it's more towards the Call of Duty style. It feels a lot like a Call of Duty.
Big movie moments.
You'll pop and shoot. A couple of guys move to the next room. A building will blow up right next to you. And then
it's authentic.
Then you'll shoot more people, and then you'll control a robot. Then you'll shoot more people again. Then you'll blow up this. It has that pace where you're not getting too tired of hiding behind cover and throwing grenades, but there's also things
pop
to watch.
Shoot.
It feels like a blockbuster action movie with Sylvester Stallone.
And DICE is only making the multiplayer, right? Or is that, am I right about it? Or is EA LA?
Aren't they doing it this time?
Or is all EA LA doing it?
I think it's all Danger Close.
Oh, that's right. They're Danger Close.
And I think that it's also on the same engine this time. They're not building two different games.
Yeah.
Okay. Which was just the weirdest idea.
Yeah.
Guys, confirm or deny Medal of Honor Underground is the best one ever?
I don't know. I only played Frontlines.
I've only played Warfighter.
And I played the most recent one and the Pacific one they made.
Yeah.
Was that any good?
I played the demo like 20 times, and I don't think I ever actually played the real game.
So you basically played the game.
It was good.
But yeah, it's worth checking out if you like shooters. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to compare to like the bigger Call of Duties or Halo or whatever, but as of yet,
it'll provide a more authentic military experience.
Yeah, you'll actually drive.
As a man named Voodoo.
All right. And with that, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. And we're back. So this week.
Wait a second. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stop right there. I have something I need to rant about, okay?
Hank has a rant?
Yes. Let me tell you guys something here. So I went to TGS and came back from that. It's Tokyo Game Show, if you don't know. And while I was there, every U.S. journalist I met was like, boo, this isn't as good as old TGS's. This sucks. This keeps getting smaller and smaller. But what they don't get is that it's bigger than ever now. Like, every year, it's just more and more well-attended. Like, you, Lucas, do not respond to me, because I am talking here. But you would agree with me that, like, the public day was it felt like we were refugees just shoved together trying to get to a food drop-off. And so, obviously, it's still bigger than ever. The problem is, these people just don't care about Japanese games anymore. And I blame them for not liking Japanese games. It's not that Japanese games left them behind, and by them I mean U.S. press. It's that they stopped caring about Japanese games. There were still great games there. Yakuza 5, X Troopers, Ace Attorney 5. They were lots of fun, even if they might not ever come to America. Or Project Cross Zone or Project X Zone. Those are great games. And I'm tired of people bitching that TGS is getting worse and worse just because they don't care about the games. F them.
All right. All right. Well, we're happy that you got that. I mean, this is somewhat therapeutic.
I feel a little better.
Good. That's what the point of this entire show is for. To make Henry less likely to get angry and kill us all. So let's move on to news. Biggest news story of the week. Cliffy B leaving Epic after 20 years. He did for like a week.
That was a shock.
Cliffy B, after 20 years.
That's insane.
The company he built with Jackrabbit, Unreal Tournament, mm-hmm. Gears of War, so many great games, is just like months before their next big release, mm-hmm. a few months before their next big engine release.
Yeah.
That is weird, actually.
Just walking out. His excuse, and it makes sense. He's been doing this since he was a teenager. Mm-hmm. It's been 20 years. He just wants a break from I think just having a job. He's a millionaire. He wants to have a break from gaming. Yeah. Also, isn't he getting married soon?
I think he is getting married to the hot lady he tweets about all the time.
It's Lauren something. I don't know what her last name is. Soon to be Lauren B.
Plesinski. You know, this was pointed out. I saw afterwards, like, this is the third exit of a major Epic dude this year. Like, there was... I can't remember the names of the other two, but one of them is, like, working on Bioshock Infinite now, and another one, like, transferred out. And so it seems like there's a little brain drain going on at Epic as far as development goes.
And in general, in recent years, you have Peter Molyneux leaving. Yeah. You have David Jaffe leaving the company he made. You have the two guys from BioWare
left. Yeah.
I wonder if we're going to see a game developer version of Polygon in the near future.
Yeah. They're all just going to start their own Kickstarters.
Yes, that's probably more likely. Cliffy B is going to be like, "Listen,
Cliffy
I have an
B's
idea.
Kickstarter.
It's a chainsaw and
a broomstick.
For $1,200, you get a picture of me with this broomstick. So what do you think it means for Epic? Nothing? Or, I mean, I feel like the wheels are in motion enough.
The wheels are in motion. I'm like, I don't think, like, Cliffy had gotten to, like, a Miyamoto-type position, I think, where he wasn't directing games. Like, he was the face of their games, and he definitely probably was giving continual input, but he wasn't the driving creative force on, you know, Bulletstorm or Gears 2 or 3, you know. So I think you've been scaling back anyway. I don't think it'll be a major change. Like, also, whatever their next gen trilogy that will be the next Gears of War, whatever that is, they know what that is now. Internally,
it's probably
playable
somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So they won't have Cliffy B to give good interviews or for him to say, hey, you should care about Fortnite or Bulletstorm like he did with those games. But
they won't have Cliffy B to push around anymore, is what you're saying.
I do wonder how long he's going to take a break before, and will he go independent or will he get hired by somebody?
Or will he just go back to Epic? Maybe he's just being like, I need a break for a few years and then I want to jump back in.
Maybe he got tired of living in North Carolina. Maybe he wants to live in L.A.
Maybe.
That's living the life, man. I'm going to take a vacation for like 4 years.
Hey, man, when you build a multi-million dollar company.
Hey, I'd do it. I'm not hating.
Good. I don't want you to front on Cliffy B. He's unemployed now. You don't need to front on him.
No, I know.
He needs all the help we can give him.
Fun employment.
Other big news. So that XCOM FPS that was renounced like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That started off, originally it looked like XCOM except Bioshock. Mm-hmm. Then they changed it to look like XCOM except Mass Effect.
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
In terms of the gameplay, was like you're ordering squad mates, you're getting cover in third person.
That was E3 2011.
Yes. Now it looks like it might be XCOM meets a third person downloadable.
Yeah, the downloadable. So yeah, it might be a downloadable game. Which
I've heard people say that this they're essentially it's essentially 2K doing what Ubisoft did with I Am Alive, where it's like this game is not going to come together. Let's just cut our losses and release it for $15.
This isn't coming together. Let's just stitch what we have together.
A different XCOM game has been announced and will be released before we've heard anything about this one in like 2 years.
Well, you know, Firaxis is much. Firaxis?
I've always thought it was Firaxis, but people Firaxis made fun of me recently for saying that.
Well, what? People who worked at PC Gamer pronounce it Firaxis, don't they? But they would know better.
Who cares
what they do? they would know better than me.
But yeah. It's third person, and it looks like it's going to be scaled back dramatically.
They need to. They've taken too long to not cancel it, so they just need to be like, F it. Go out here. Buy it or don't.
It looked so good those first two times.
Was that like cube gun that would like make people...
I remember the OXM D-res. Cover story reveal for it was very impressive.
Every time they show it, it looks a little more generic and a little worse because they're trying to make it more mainstream, I guess. But I feel like after they're going to look at how popular XCOM Enemy Unknown is going to be, they're going to be like, maybe we should have just done it.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be a crazy mainstream game.
They should
have
had the balls to do it like XCOM. I hope XCOM, the Enemy Unknown, is a big hit.
Though I do remember hearing, and I could be wrong or making this up, that they essentially had to pull half of the staff of XCOM, the shooter, to help finish Bioshock Infinite.
I wouldn't be surprised. Bioshock Infinite, like... It's going through secret pains. Like I think there's real problems going on with Bioshock Infinite, but they can't talk about it.
Yeah, when's the last time they started talking
about it? They haven't shown it since last E3, and it wasn't playable then. Like, it hasn't been shown playable, and it is supposedly out in 3-4 months. Like,
is it in February?
It's in February.
Oh, my God.
I don't think it'll be out in February.
I think it will.
Push it to next holiday.
I mean, I think it will be out just because I think they know they have to get it out as soon as possible because the next gen is coming.
Yeah, it's got to beat next gen, but I don't know. There's been a lot of problems. I think 2K is, like, they're in a tough position early next year. They've got, like, this XCOM is their big release, which
they just got Borderlands, right?
Yeah, okay, they did just put out Borderlands. But next year, like, will they put out Bioshock Infinite? Will this XCOM game come out? What is happening with GTA 5? Like, come on. I'd like to know something about it. They put out Max Payne months ago. I thought they were finally going to start telling us something about GTA 5. And
busy adding in abilities to call your cousin.
Cousin.
I liked Roman more than I liked Nico in that game.
Eh.
Crazy.
Yeah, you're kind of crazy.
He's more human.
I like Klebitz the most.
He was good.
Yeah.
And he was Jewish like me.
He was nice and depressing.
He was a nice Jewish boy like myself.
The sitcoms.
Though Brucey was clearly my favorite.
Jewish like me. Yeah.
Brucey was the best. Brucey he was also Jewish.
Good. Was he?
Well, yeah, his brother goes on, you know, his brother who bullies him in the, who appears in the Ballad of Gay Tony. At the end, his brother moves to Israel and joins a kibbutz. So the...
Huh.
You don't remember that?
No.
Yeah.
That seems like something you would have made up. other big news, something that I know Henry's excited for.
Whoa.
The 3DS eShop is getting 7 original games within the next few months.
This came out of nowhere. Like, I found out Nintendo of Europe was having a Nintendo Direct, like, as it was happening. I saw it tweeted, like, Nintendo Direct having right now. I was like, well, if this is a Nintendo Europe one, like, it can't have much impact on America. And then the guy gets to the 3DS section, and he unloads with his crazy number of games. The most interesting one to me is, it's called Fall Box in stupid Europe. But in America, it's called Crashmo, and it's the sequel to Pushmo, my favorite 3DS download and one of my top 5 favorite 3DS games. Like, Pushmo was such an awesome puzzle game that's sort of a platformer, and now this one is Pushmo again, but now the blocks can drop, so that's why it's called Crashmo.
Crash Box.
And also, the other big news from it was, so in Japan, Level 5 put out this game called Guildo 5, where they got a bunch of famous game developers to make a mini game, and they released them all 5 at once. And we wondered if that would ever come to the U.S.
And we knew it probably wasn't.
It seemed like it never would. And then all of a sudden, in the 3DS press in the Nintendo Direct, the European boss goes, and now the guy from Level 5. And he's like, this is the first game Level 5 is publishing themselves. We're putting out three games at once that were in Guild 05. So Suda51's, what was it called? Suda51's Liberation Maiden.
Sort of a Star Fox kind of game.
Suda51's cast players as the president of New Japan in this Star Fox Panzer Dragoon shooter. And then there's Aero Porter from Yute Saito, the creator of Seaman. Seaman. And then Crimson Shroud from the creator of Final Fantasy Tactics and Vagrant Story, Yasumi Matsuno. So,
and it's an RPG.
Yeah, it's an RPG. All three are, and stupid lucky Europe already has Liberation Maiden right now.
I know.
And they haven't given us a date
people
yet.
In Europe listening, this is not actual anger. It's pure jealousy.
I'm totally jealous. I want to play that Suda game right now.
Just move to Europe.
And then there were other small things too, like a game called Night Sky and Fluidity Spin Cycle.
Oh, Night Sky is awesome. I've played that on PC. It's really good. It's a one-button platform.
And they're also getting a bunch of old NES games too, like Castlevania the Adventure and Zelda 2.
Link's Adventure. Tons of cool stuff coming out.
It's very cool. I'm excited. The 3DS, you know, Nintendo got a lot of crap, rightly so, for letting their WiiWare shop be garbage, but they seem to be really trying with the 3DS eShop, and I hope this is a sign of how they're going to be trying with the Wii U shop as well.
Yes, and the 3DS shop.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, all right, so that's it for news. And before we move on to the question of the week, we just want to let everyone know that this week's Games Radar's greatest game of all time, in terms of the game that we're putting a spotlight on that's on our top 100 games of all time list, is The Secret of Monkey Island.
Yes.
And you can check out a full write-up as to why The Secret of Monkey Island is one of the greatest games ever made on GamesRadar.com. Has anyone in here played it a lot?
Oh,
nope.
Yes.
Big fan?
Oh, yes.
I played a little of it, and it's crazy how well the humor holds up. Like, there's a simple part really early in the game where you introduce yourself as you find a pirate, one of the first guys you talk to, and you say, you're like, hey, my name's Guybrush Threepwood, and I want to be a pirate. And this pirate goes like, that's the most ridiculous name I've ever heard. And then you're like, well, yeah, what's your name? And he's like, Mancomb Forpwood. And it's just like, it's just like, really? Also, that's not his, it's something along those lines. It's, like, it's Mancomb Forpwood. It's just like, why would, what the hell? It's so funny. And like little things like that are funnier now, like the fact that the bar they're all in is called the Scum Bar because the name of the engine is the Scum Engine.
Little stuff like that.
And it's so witty.
And it's pretty too.
It is. The remake is beautiful.
I like the pixelated graphics.
Really?
Yes.
You're a pixel man.
You're a pixel
sexual.
Yes, you could say that.
I will. So yeah, you can check out a full write up on that, and that's an every Wednesday thing. Every Wednesday you can find out. You can read one of our love letters to one of our favorite games. And next week's is, I'm not going to spoil it.
The game.
I don't remember what it is.
I hope you people out there liked my Resident Evil 4 one.
Yeah, you should check that one out. That one was awesome. Mm-hmm. You should also check out, Tom Magrino wrote one about World of Warcraft. That might be my favorite one that's been written so far.
Ryan Talchinik. World of Warcraft.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Tom Magrino wrote one. Ryan Talgenic, who is a soon-to-be Games Radar employee, wrote one about World of Warcraft. I meant Team Fortress.
Oh, yes.
Tom Magrino's Team Fortress entry was phenomenal.
It gets into it,
and it's super well written. That guy really needs to write more for this website. I'll say it. I want to see more of his name. I want to see his byline on more things.
Yeah. I just want to see more of
him. I want to assign him a feature right now. Let's think of a feature for Tom. The top seven games I fucking hate. Top seven games I fucking hate. That's my pitch for him. Tom, we need that by this Monday. I know you're on vacation, but
work on the weekend.
It's
called dedication.
Yeah. So, question of the week for last week, Lucas Sullivan.
So the question of the week last week was, which time period would you like to see more games for?
God, I just realized the issue with assigning you to read these.
Yes. Because
let's do it!
So not only that, but are you seeing how long this
Oh, God, you're not going to read all of them.
Paraphrase.
But here we go. All right, here's a good one.
Cody Stovall.
I hear from him a lot.
One sentence. Victorian London, Jack the Ripper, Jekyll and Hyde, Opium Dens, Sherlock Holmes, and Monsters.
A Sherlock Holmes game came out this week.
What's not to like?
Literally this week. You can read a review on GamesRadar.com. The Testament of Sherlock Holmes.
There's been rumors for a long time Visceral at EA is making a Jack the Ripper game.
Just called The Ripper, where he fights Ripper. Demons.
Yeah.
Because apparently...
he was killing demons, not prostitutes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes it okay.
Probably because of all of his time in the opium dens.
Yes. A lot of people had Aztec or... I can't remember the word.
Like Apocalypto, you mean?
Indigenous people? Yes. And this one fellow, Santa Claus 37, he went off the rails. He basically
on
gave
a crazy
the
train.
First, pretty much, yeah. He gave the first chapter of this game that doesn't even exist yet. I'll read you an excerpt. The real game would start when, in the middle of the night, your village is suddenly raided and overtaken by the Spaniards. You would have to watch as they brutally killed anyone who opposed them, many of them...
Is everyone else imagining that every Spaniard is Michael Roparez, by the way? Anyone else? I'm just imagining hundreds of him. Sorry, go on. Michael Roparez is murdering people.
I just realized this part I will not read on the air. You would narrowly escape into the woods with nothing but the clothes on your back, a hunting knife, bow and quiver, with only a handful of arrows. You'd then spend a long, cold night in the forest trying to forage for supplies to heal yourself.
Right now it sounds a lot like the new Tomb Raider.
Yeah. And make a shelter to protect you from the elements, which would contextually affect your stamina bar along with hunger and injuries.
So what era is this?
This is one of the Aztecs ones.
Yeah, end of the 15th century Central America.
Ah.
I wouldn't want to live there then.
No.
Another common theme was Egypt. Boren Ben says, I really think there need to be games set in and around ancient Egypt. The ancient Egyptians had a great mythos about their whole culture. Mummies, green man-like gods. I don't know what that means. Like Osiris.
Anubis.
And jackal slash man creatures such as Anubis. Sign me up.
And who is the winner?
The winner is...
And what did they win? Does anyone... They won the Resident Evil...
No, they won some PS3 headphones, if I'm not
That was
mistaken.
The week before.
They win something.
I think that they won a prize pack of Resident Evil goodies.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
It was Resident Evil...
Or a Dragon Age bag?
Or a Dragon Age bag. We'll discuss it with you. We'll get in touch with you. You won something.
Okay, so I'm
Congratulations.
Going to try to read this. It's not...
What's the person's name?
So coherent. Wade Smith. You are the lucky winner.
As long as you live in America.
He says, freaking Africa, man. I know I'm kind of biased being permanently
That's a good
in
era.
Africa. Oh, wait, so he's not...
Wait, he lives in Africa, so he's not in America.
Lucas.
He isn't in America.
Who did you have a runner-up picked?
Let's see. Okay. We'll go with Tiger's Eye 85. It's your lucky day. You just hit the jackpot, sir. He says, I'm surprised that the early origins of man have not been very well explored. Imagine Bethesda creating an Elder Scrolls open world adventure where you play as a caveman emerging from his cave and venturing out into the wild, untamed
that's
world.
That's awesome!
I'll buy that, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to just club really a woolly mammoth to death with literally a club?
Instead of dragons, you would encounter dinosaurs, discover fire...
That's not actually how it
happened. Domesticate mammoths, war with other Paleolithic tribes, fall in love by clubbing a potential spouse in the head, and dragging them back to your cave.
Listen, I play games so that it's not like my real life. So who is that again?
Tiger's Eye 85.
Tiger's Eye 85, the early origins of man.
You
was a good
it.
Choice. Yes. Shoot us an email at, I believe it's radioradar@gamesradar.com.
You're always correcting Tom on it. So
I haven't been here in 3 weeks,
I feel like that's it. And if that doesn't work, send one of us a message on gamesradar.com. But you are the winner of something that is either a Dragon Age bag or some Resident Evil goodies.
Either way, it's free prizes.
Let's stop for a second because I need to go figure out what the prize is for this week. I think we have those HD collections that we're giving
away. We have Miss Pandarista.
I think we're giving this away something else.
Oh.
Give me 1 second.
The Mists of Pandaria.
Hey, what time is it?
Time to go home.
Oh, I gotta write my Dishonored review.
It's 5:32.
Jeez Louise.
Oh, just dude, it feels like Friday.
He talks for too long. Hey, Lorenzo, if you were to say 9 reasons you were excited for Dishonored, what would they be?
I would say the
rat zombies.
Power.
Yeah, the characters are really cool. The
main
one,
dude.
That, I wouldn't say
the costumes.
The main dude, like the targets, are kind of cool because you go and find them, and you could research them and figure out what their personalities are like, and decide whether we want to spare them or not.
Okay.
The combat's really fun because you can combine all your stuff.
So sorry. Sorry.
All right.
The levels are awesome.
We'll talk more later.
All right, this week's question of the week, and there's actually three prizes to choose from, depending on your taste in games. You will either win a copy of Fable the Journey for Xbox 360.
Kinect support.
For Kinect. Kinect better mandatory. Kinect.
Yeah, it is better.
Yeah, better with Kinect.
If you don't have it, you can't play it.
There's also either the God of War HD collection that just came out. Isn't there a new God of War collection that just came out?
Well, I think it's the HD 1 and 2 and then also 3.
Yeah, so it's the God of War trilogy. Or the Infamous HD collection that just came out. Didn't that also just come out?
Well, I wouldn't call it an HD collection.
The Infamous
it's
collection.
It's all the Infamous games.
That's the thing that came out, though, right? I'm not getting that wrong. Yeah, one of those three, for the person who answers the question of the week, what's your favorite rose-tinted glasses game? In that, what's a game that, at the time, you loved it, but looking back, it does not hold up in the least?
I know this.
Go ahead.
The original Rayman is so freaking difficult that it is basically borderline unplayable unless you're using codes. And that is because you have to collect every single hidden platoon if you want to win. And that's just absurd. I don't want to have to do that. Plus, it's very unforgiving with the jumps. And you can't really see anything because the screen is too small. But it's a beautiful game.
Is it?
It is.
All right.
I would say, it would be a Sega Saturn game, Burning Rangers.
Ooh.
Like, so we were all so excited for, you know, whatever the Sonic team and Yuji Naka would do after Knights. What we really wanted was a new Sonic game, but we weren't going to get that. And so we got Burning Rangers, which is a firefighting game with an anime firefighting game. And I was just so excited to have anything new from Sonic Team. Because this is back when Sonic Team was a name you got excited for.
Yeah.
But it was way too short and hideous looking. Like, you look at it now, like, the fire is one of the hardest things to make look good now. Like, even the textures on fire now can look bad. Back in the 32-bit era on the Saturn, like, oof, boy. So, but it had a great anime theme song.
What about you, Lorenzo? Do you not go back and play old games to see how horrible they are?
The only thing I could really just pull out of my head right now is I used to love the Ninja Turtles back in the day, and I used to play this game. It was the Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on NES, and like it was the one where there's that dam level where you have to
It's the worst
and
game ever.
I used to love that game, and I could beat that dam level like no other. And I went back and played it like a couple months ago, and it's horrible. Like the controls suck.
It is one of the worst things ever.
It's
and then you have the above the. Like the top down driving you have no clue where you're supposed to go.
So much of that,
and you could just get run over by the foot soldiers. Like
it was essentially a shitty version of Zelda 2.
It kind of was. Yeah.
Now that I think about it,
and also it was completely unbalanced because Donatello was easily the best, and Raphael was awful.
Yeah, I would use Raphael. I'd switch to him when I knew I was going to die. Like,
yeah,
if I had to jump over a bunch of spikes, I'd switch to Raphael just in case he died, and then
turtle.
Donatello was always the last one.
Yeah, the arcade one was when it finally got good.
Yeah,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
I have a bunch I can't decide between. I think like GoldenEye doesn't hold up in the least, but it was a good game for its time, I'd say.
What about Mines? Playing Mines only.
I mean, it's just the game. No. That, and Altered Beast is probably the same way. But I'm going to go personally with, I think it was a Sega Genesis Power Rangers fighting game.
I played that because there would you could play as either humans or mechs, but they couldn't fight each other.
No, it was and I watched a video of it recently. It was terrible.
Yeah,
it was like the worst fighting game ever, and I probably put like 150 hours
Branding
into it.
Branding is a powerful thing
because I was so into
Power Rangers.
And I remember specifically like a vivid childhood memory of like horror. Mm-hmm. Even though I knew it was a TV show, I knew full well it was a fake TV show. They all ended with like PSAs, and one of them ended with Billy doing a backflip and being like, "I can't really do a backflip. This is a TV show, so don't try this shit at home." And I was like, "Don't say that! I know you don't have to say it out loud."
Go back and watch that show now. It's amazing.
It's really on Netflix,
fun.
I think.
It's really fun to watch. I'm being dead serious.
There's right. 600 episodes on Netflix.
It's so good.
Like,
just, so
I need to watch
at least the first season.
Yeah, just start watching the first season. You won't be disappointed.
The Power Rangers are still very popular in Japan. Like,
yes.
You know, so many toys of them.
Yeah, they're like Rescue Rangers now. Not Chip and Dale. But
I know.
Different kind of Rescue Rangers. So, if you comment on the article on GamesRadar.com, what your favorite rose-tinted glasses game is, you have a chance to win one of the three games we mentioned, either the Infamous Collection, the God of War Collection, or the Fable the Journey single game, not collection, that requires Kinect. If you live in America and we pick your answer, we'll send you one of them their games.
Not all three.
Not all three. No, you get to pick which one.
I vote Infamous.
Well, that's a good vote. All right, big releases next week are XCOM Enemy Unknown, Dishonored, and Fable the Journey. You can check out reviews for all of those on GamesRadar.com. Oh. And
Also, technically, on Sunday is a Sunday release, Pokemon Black and White 2.
Pokemon Black and White 2, that's absolutely. And the review's already up, right?
Yep.
Did we like it?
We gave it into 4 out of 5.
There you go. And
I would have reviewed it had I not been in Japan. So
you were busy in Japan.
Yep. I was living in the world of Pokemon.
Exactly. You were fighting them. You were catching literally all of them.
Gym leaders.
I did go to the Pokemon Center. It was pretty fun.
Did you heal your Pokemon there?
No, they don't offer that.
Those lying jerks.
Did you meet Nurse Joy?
I wish the workers there should dress like Nurse Joy.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah. Who was the police officer lady?
Officer Jenny.
Jenny.
Yeah.
You can also follow Games Radar on Twitter at GR Radio Radar, and there's a Facebook. It's just Games Radar. You can go there and be sure to go to all of those.
And actually, if you like Facebook right now, you could win a Dishonored jacket and mask right now. So like our Facebook page, and you could win an actual replica of both of those.
Would they get those in time for Halloween? Probably. Could we give a probably?
Make any promises.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. You might.
Won't make any promises. 7, it's coming 000. At the end of the month, and they're currently crafting it. So it's really awesome. Go check
That's
it out.
It's coming at the end of October?
Yeah.
Oh, then you probably won't get it for Halloween.
Yeah, go check it out on our site, and there's some pictures.
Facebook.com/GamesRadar?
Yeah, Facebook.com.
And there's nothing wrong with wearing a really creepy mask and jacket to a Christmas party.
No.
Or for Thanksgiving. Yeah. Thanksgiving, you show up at your family's get-together with a jacket and a horrific, creepy-looking mask. There's going to be no family arguments. No one's going to get angry and throw the gravy at your aunt because she said something rude to your sister. That's not going to happen.
You bring a turkey filled with rats. And
When your arch-conservative uncle starts talking crap.
When he starts screaming at your crazy left-wing aunt, and then they end up start screaming at each other about global politics, and then you just want to go play your Wii U.
Yeah.
And by Wii U, I mean wiener. So you can check our Twitter, GR Radio Radar, and be sure to review us on iTunes if you like what you're hearing. And if you don't like what you're hearing, give us a high rating anyway, because we cannot take criticism right now. We are way too stressed for that.
Please. They all help. They rank us higher. And you want us to rank higher than our dumb competitors, right?
Yeah.
Right?
They're dumb.
They're dumb.
They're so dumb, I don't even want to name them.
No. We actually don't know who they are.
I legitimately don't know. We have no competitors.
No, we don't. We're in a class of our own. So, yeah, check all that out. Go to GamesRadar.com, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Later. Let's do this. All right. The card is... Which is more relaxing?
I told myself I was just going to go with this card, so here it goes.
All right, throw him in. All right, flip him over. Which is more relaxing? I want you to go first, Lorenzo. I want you to justify what you that travesty you just flipped over for what is more relaxing.
What is more relaxing? Far Cry 2? What can be more relaxing than an African sunset?
with malaria?
Yeah.
Is with, and, like with child?
And getting yeah. shot at.
And yeah, getting lots of bullets flying across your head.
What about you, Henry?
Well, I picked John Madden's football, and you know, it just makes you think of a beer-soaked afternoon, sitting on the couch, just experiencing something, except you have control over it, and you can make it as easy as you want, and you can make your team be undefeated all year, which is just relaxing, isn't it? It makes you feel good instead of tense, like regular football matches make you feel, right, I'm assuming?
What about you, Lucas?
I think... You know, Donkey Kong, there's only four levels, right? So once you get the basic gist of it, you can pretty much breeze through it easily. I mean, not King of Kong style.
What? But. Are you kidding me? The Pie Factory makes me incredibly tense.
I cry just when I hear about Henry going to the Pie Factory.
It's actually called the Cement Factory, but people...
The Cement Factory is 10 miscalled. I played Rez. Because it is the only legitimately
yes.
relaxing game on the table.
I think that's right.
You kind of get into it. You get into a groove. You're just like, all right, I'm resin. And then everything all of a sudden it just bass drops and you just like, and it turns into dubstep.